Following is a synopsis of the Sicha, of the talk of the Rebbe of Shabbos Parshas Yisrei, the 20th of Shvat, Tavshin Nun Beis, corresponding to 1992. The Ten Commandments occur in the Torah twice. The first time is in this Parsha, Parshas Yisro. Second time is in the Parsha of Yishanan, in the book of Devarim, Deuteronomy, where Moshe Rabbeinu repeats the Ten Commandments, the so-called Ten Commandments, an additional time. Since the Ten Commandments, more precisely, it's the Ten Statements, since they represent a foundation of the entire Torah, so it follows that there is a meaning and there's significance to the fact that it was repeated in the Torah. It's mentioned twice, and we also have to appreciate the differences, the nuances that there are between the two different editions of the Ten Statements. And the reason why there are these differences and nuances is because there's a central theme that distinguishes one version of the Ten Statements from the other. Now, there's one very clear distinction between the two sets of the Ten Statements. The first Ten Statements were said directly from Hashem, from God. The later repetition of the Ten Statements, even though they're also a part and an integral part of God's Torah and they're God's words, but they are God's words as they were said through Moshe. Now, in actuality, the Jewish people heard these ten last statements from Moshe Rabbeinu, who repeated the first statements. Now, since these two categories of statements are a part of Torah, and Torah is a lesson for us, for every Jew, and especially considering the fact that every day a Jew has to feel that he is receiving the Torah anew. That's why when we say the blessing on the Torah, we use the present tense, Baruch Atah Hashem Noisein HaTorah, the one who gives the Torah, not who has given it. So therefore, we have to understand that these two categories contain within them two different lessons for every Jew every single day. So the question is, what has the second version of the Ten Commandments added to the first version, considering the fact that the first version was said directly by God, whereas the second version was said by God through Moses? So what could that add on to what we already know in the first version? And the Rebbe explains that in Torah there are two stages. Torah, in its original state, is God's plaything. It's God's delight. It's God's wisdom. It's God's will. And it's an inseparable part of God himself, as the Zohar says, "Eiraisa v'kutshebricha kul echad." Torah and the Holy One, blessed is He, are entirely one. There's no way of separating between them. On the other hand, that very Torah descended into this world, was written on parchment, physical parchment, discusses physical and material matters. When there's a question, who do you go to? You go to physical people, rabbis, who are here in this physical world, and they, based on their understanding of the Torah, tell you how to behave. Because that's the whole purpose of the Torah coming down into this world. It's to transform the world into a holy place, into a dwelling for Hashem. So, consistent with these two stages of Torah, there are two separate approaches that a Jew has to have to Torah. When a Jew studies Torah, he has to first know that this is God's wisdom. This transcends the world. It transcends human intellect. And he has to completely surrender himself to the giver of the Torah, and that expresses itself in the blessing that he recites before studying Torah, in which we say, "Blessed are you, Hashem, the one who gives the Torah." That blessing expresses the idea that we surrender our own independent way of thinking to that which is God's wisdom. Also, it translates in the way we learn the Torah, that we learn the Torah in a different way. It's not that I am learning Torah, the person is learning Torah, but God is saying these words, and you're just repeating. And that's why the Torah that we study today has to be studied with a sense of awe and reverence, because we know we're saying God's words. On the other hand, since Torah did come down into this world, every Jew has to learn Torah and to understand the Torah using his own human intellect, to the point where he becomes unified with the Torah. And that's the meaning of the first psalm in the book of Psalms, where King David says, "Ki em b'seiros Hashem cheftzei." It starts off by talking about God's Torah, And it concludes, and in his, the person's Torah, he meditates, he studies. So even though we're talking about God's Torah, but then God's Torah is then identified as the person's Torah, because it becomes one with the person when the person ingests the teachings of the Torah and becomes inseparable from the person. It becomes your own Torah. So we have these two stages, the Torah where it is God's wisdom, and the Torah where it becomes part of our consciousness. Now these characteristics that are needed for the study of Torah are also needed to conquer the world and transforming it into a dwelling place for God, and a place that is fit for God to be revealed in. On one hand, we have to have a dwelling for God himself. The world has to be sanctified through the Torah and the mitzvahs, and that happens only through the power of Torah, as it is God's Torah, inseparable from God himself. On the other hand, in order to transform this lowly world, you have to be part of this world. You can't be aloof and separated from this world and change it at the same time. Now the person and the Torah have to come into this world, and only in this world, and only through this engagement with the world can you sanctify it and transform it into a dwelling. Because just as it is true, when a person wants to decorate his house, and he wants to beautify the house, and do the maximum amount of renovation of his house, he has to first see the house, he has to dwell in the house, he has to know what the different styles of the location in which he lives, what kind of customs and styles they follow. Only then could he decorate the house appropriately. The same is true, to apply that analogy to the way we sanctify the world and transform the world, we have to descend into the parameters of the world, and then we could use the world's behaviors, the world's customs, in order to transform it into holiness. Now the power to implement these two opposites, because you have to be, on one hand, aware of the divinity of Torah and the divine message, and at the same time you have to be part of this world. So that power comes to us from the two versions of the 10 statements. In the first version of the 10 statements of this week's parsha, it says, "Vayidaber Elokim es kol hadvarim ha'ela lemar." God spoke all these words, saying. Now what does the word saying over here mean? That every Jew, whichever time he lives, could repeat the words of Torah by completely surrendering himself to the giver of the Torah. In other words, the Torah that we are learning now, we could appreciate its divine source. And we're just repeating words that were already said by God, and that prepares us for transforming this world into a dwelling place for God. Whereas the second or the latter 10 statements that were said through Moshe, that gives us the power that even as we are within this world, soul within a body, we're able to study Torah, understand it, and to transform the world the way the world is, with all of its characteristics and all of its customs, into a holy place. Now the reason why we need both versions of the 10 statements is because each one has a quality that the other one does not have. The first statements come from God himself, as we said before. There is no intermediary. True, the words that were said by Moshe are also from God himself, but there's a channel that it goes through Moshe, and it has some effect. And the proof of that is that when God himself spoke, it says the souls of all the Jewish people at Mount Sinai left their bodies, and God had to resuscitate them. When Moshe spoke, the Jewish people were able to hear. So from this we see that the divine revelation that occurred with the first 10 statements was a much stronger one, but it was not able to be absorbed by the people. That was its lack of ability. So it has a quality, but it also has a deficiency. The quality of the latter 10 statements was that it could be absorbed. The people were able to hear it and retain it, but it was not the same revelation of God himself as in the first 10 statements. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he said the latter 10 statements, created a mechanism that enabled us to prepare the world into a dwelling place for the Creator. In the first 10 statements, the emphasis was placed that God himself will dwell in this world. So the difference is, God is dwelling, that the first 10 statements in this world are the second 10 statements. Now, the ideal situation is when there's a unification of these two qualities, when God himself reveals himself to the Jewish people, but he reveals himself as the souls are within bodies, within the parameters of the physical world, and that they will be empowered to receive the great revelation as it is, in its most pristine, in its most undiluted measure. That is the ultimate good for the world. And that's why when Moshe said the later 10 statements, as a continuation of the first 10 statements, he made it possible that even this great revelation of God himself, Yidaber Elokim, and God spoke, of the first 10 statements, could be absorbed and internalized within the Jewish people through the latter 10 statements. Because every Jew, when he studies Torah, has the power to reveal godliness and to be unified with God himself as he is a soul within a body in this physical world. Now, the Rebbe says the dates of the month in which we read this are also significant, and that also signifies this unification of godliness that on its own cannot come into this world, but eventually does have the power to become unified with this world and with the person down here. And that is based on the fact that this is the month of Shvat. Shvat is called the 11th month, when we start counting from the month of Nisan. And the number 11 symbolizes that which transcends nature. It's higher than the 10 statements and the 10 utterances with which God created the world. So when we come to the 10th of Shvat, which is the Hilula, the day of passing of the previous Rebbe, whom the Rebbe refers to as my father-in-law, the Rebbe, the leader of our generation, that gave us the ability to unify that which is higher than nature, 11, with nature, which is 10. So when we get to the 11th day of Shvat and the 20th day of Shvat, which is the gematria, the numerical value of the word keser, crown, that's a sign that the nature of the world has been empowered to absorb even the 11th power that was transcends nature and the crown in its most pure state. The 11th of the month of the 11th month and the crown of the 11th month. So the Rebbe is saying that that day, which the Rebbe said this talk, which was the 20th of Shvat, is a day when we're able to absorb the transcendent energies and the crown of the 11th month. And this is also hinted in next week's Parsha, which is Mishpatim, in which the theme that even the Mishpatim, the so-called rational commandments, come from God himself, who transcends rationality. And even the highest teachings of Torah, the most concealed teachings of Torah, Moshe was able to present to every single individual Jew in such a way that they can understand it and internalize it. As it says, Ve'ela ha-mishpatim, these are the laws, the rational laws, asher tasim lifnehem, you shall place before them, meaning you shall allow them to appreciate it, to absorb it, to internalize it. Now, from this we have a direct and very clear message and lesson for our historical period, as we stand right next to the true and complete redemption. The unification of the first 10 statements and the latter 10 statements that occurred then did not stop. In every generation, there's the Moshe of the generation who repeats God's word in each generation, and therefore we have the power to reveal God's essence itself in this physical world. And this is even more pronounced in our generation, which is the last generation of Golos, of exile, and the first generation of Geula, of redemption. Our function is to reveal God's essence in this world in the most complete manner, that it should be taken from Miyad, immediately. And the Rebbe goes on to explain that the word Miyad, which means immediately, is actually an acronym for three different elements that are represented by that word. The Mem of Miyad, of immediate, stands for Mashiach, whose name, the Talmud says, is Menachem, beginning with the letter Mem. He is the first Redeemer, and he's the last Redeemer. And that's connected to the number 11. Then you have the Yud, which stands for Yosef Yitzchak, the previous Rebbe, who's connected to the 10th of Shvat. Yud is 10. And the Dalet of the word Miyad stands for Dor, their generation. So the Rebbe says, in practice, this means that each one of us, men, women, children, have to read this parsha of Yisrael not as a historical event that happened sometime in the past, but to derive a lesson for every week and every month that will follow. Every one of us has to serve God with all of his 10 faculties of his soul, with his intellect, with his will, with his feelings, and the learning of Torah has to be permeated with a sense of reverence and awe, because we're talking about literally God's words. And in addition, every Jew has to have at least a minimum effect on 10 other Jews that they should increase in their study of Torah and the performance of the mitzvahs with all their power. And the power, the energy to do this, we get from 770, the Rebbe says, which is Beis Chayenu. This is where we derive our life, our spiritual and physical life. And the primary thing and the most essential thing is that we should all come through this to the Beis HaMikdash, and may it be, take it from Miyad, Mamish, immediately. A summary of the synopsis, the Rebbe says the Ten Commandments appear twice in the Torah, once in Parshas Yisro, this week's Parsha, and a second time in Ves Chanan. And the question is, isn't this repetition for no good reason? Why do they have to be repeated? And the answer is that the first 10 statements were said by God himself without any intermediary. That's why the Jewish people couldn't tolerate it and their souls left their bodies. Whereas the latter 10 statements were said through Moshe. They didn't represent the same revelation of God himself as in the first 10 statements. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu said it as a continuation of the first 10 statements. So by that he gave us the ability to receive and absorb God's revelation himself down here in this physical world, because the second tablets represent the word of God as it comes through Moshe, and it relates to this physical world. So when you combine the two versions of the Ten Commandments, or the Ten Statements, you have God's essence revealed in this physical world. Now this unification enables us, not only the Jews of that time, but of every generation, that we could study Torah, and if we have the right approach of right humility by saying the blessings of the Torah, where we acknowledge that this is God's Torah, not our own, and we're just repeating God's words, so we have the power to then take that awareness of God's power contained within the Torah, that it should become understood within the parameters of our own intellect, that the Torah becomes unified with us the way we are down here in this world. And this also translates in the way we relate to the whole world. We have the power that within the parameters of the world, considering all of its limits and all of its characteristics, that we can create a world that will become a dwelling place and a fitting place for God himself. Now all this is underscored, especially in our generation and the date that we are now situated, because the month of Shvat is the 11th month, which represents that which transcends 10, which is the cycle of nature. And the 10th day of the 11th month gives us the ability to unify these two different themes, 11, which is transcendent, and 10, which is the levels within this lowly world. And afterwards, we come to the 11th day of the month and to the 20th. That means even as 11 is in its most pure state, it's the level of the crown. 20 is crown, because the word Esrim, which means 20, is numerically 620, which is the same numerical value as the word Keser, which is crown, that this transcendent force in its pure state permeates this world. And since the Rebbe always emphasizes the deed, the practical application is the essential thing, the Rebbe says there are three practical lessons from this. Number one, every single Jew has to serve God in a manner of tzibur, part of a congregation, which means he has to collect all of his faculties, his inner faculties, his more encompassing faculties, the totality of the person. That's represented by the number 10. And number two, first and foremost, we have to increase in the learning of Torah, but it has to be done in a way with awe, with trembling, with a sense of great reverence. And number three, we have to influence in the next days at least 10 other Jews to follow in the ways of Torah and mitzvahs with all of their faculties. And this is a lesson the Rebbe says to each man and woman in our generation, and men, women, and children. Now, the highlights of this talk, the Rebbe says that this includes, and particularly, it begins with those people who are here in this shul, which is a shul of place for prayer, place for study of Torah, place for good deeds, and it's the shul of our Holy Father-in-Law, the leader of our generation. This is the Beis Rabbeinu Shebabavel. This is the house of our teacher in Babylonia. That's an expression of the Talmud that refers to one specific synagogue in Babylonia that was like the provisional Beis Hamikdash. This is Beis Chayenu. This is the house of our life, of all Jewish people who are in this place and all Jews in the entire generation. Because since this is the house of the Nasi, the leader, it says the Nasi Huakel, the leader is everything. And from this place, from 770, the life is extended to the entire generation, wherever they live, any part of this world. And therefore, we understand that this house of prayer, of study of Torah, and of good deeds is the Beis Chayenu, the house of our life, and especially through its influence from the teachings of Torah, the Torah of life, and mitzvahs, which are also associated with life, as it says, you shall live with them, and they are our lives and the length of our days. So when the Jewish people who are here serve as a living example how to behave in accordance with the instructions of the leader of our generation, this is the power that extends from this house to the whole world, to all the Jewish people, wherever they live, going to the entire world. And the Rebbe added, especially that they're now adding to this house, actually they were renovating the 770, as much as it's possible to do in this physical world. So this is the place that brings life to the entire world. And the Rebbe said as well, concerning this generation, we have all three dimensions of the word Miyad. We have Mem, which is the initial of the word Mashiach. We have the Yud, which is the initial of the two names of the previous Rebbe. We have Dalet, which means Dorum, their generation, together with the Moshe Rabbeinu of our generation, who the Rebbe says is my holy father-in-law, the leader of our generation. We have the 10th day of Shvat, which includes the revelation of the teachings of Chassidus, the fountains of the Baal Shem Tov, that happened through him, through the previous Rebbe. And we also have the revelation of the number 11, which represents the first and last Redeemer, David Malka Mashiach, Mashiach himself. And now to quote some excerpts from the book Besuras HaGeula, the announcement of the redemption, which highlights the things that the Rebbe said that focus directly on the redemption. At this time, the Rebbe says, as we stand immediately preceding the true and complete redemption, as mentioned frequently of late, that already all conditions have been met, and now there only has to be the actual redemption. It has been mentioned many times that a possible acronym of Miyad, which means immediately, is Moshe, Yisrael, the Baal Shem Tov, and David, which is the name that is associated with Mashiach. This means that the first generation, which is that of the giving of the Torah, the generation of Moshe, is bound up with the last generation, that of redemption through David, Melech HaMashiach, the King Mashiach. And how do we connect those two? By means of the revelation of Chassidus from the Baal Shem Tov, the Yud of Miyad, and our Rebbeim and leaders who succeeded him. Thus, when your wellsprings overflow, it says, the Master will come. That refers to the King Mashiach. These are the words that the soul of Mashiach told the Baal Shem Tov, that he would come when these fountains of the Baal Shem Tov will be spread all over and will overflow. One might say that according to the meaning of the word Miyad, immediately, the three letters are not connected with three different times, which is what we said before, Moshe in his generation, Yisrael, the Baal Shem Tov in his generation, and David, the King Mashiach, in his generation. Rather, they all come together, actually simultaneous, Miyad, immediately, in every generation, at all times. But the word Miyad is also the acronym for Moshe, Yeshua, and Dorum, their generation. All three in the same generation alludes to this as well. One can also apply this to our generation. For in this same generation, one has the revelation of all three. We have Mem, which is the first letter of Mashiach. And the Rebbe adds that Menachem is the name of Mashiach. Also begins with a Mem. Yud is the first letter, the initial of both names of my sainted father-in-law, the previous Rebbe. And the Dalet stands for Dorum, their generation. Combining the Mem, the Moshe of our generation, which is, the Rebbe says, my sainted father-in-law, the leader of our generation, with the concept of Yud, the 10th of Shvat, which also includes his revelation of the teachings of Chassidus, which are the wellsprings of the Baal Shem Tov, one has as well the revelation of the aspect of 11. The first Redeemer is the final Redeemer, David King Mashiach.